Okay, we're continuing in Bilvavi. We're on the bottom of page Tes Vav. And we're still talking about the idea of developing Emunah B'chush, Emunah that you can sense. We discussed yesterday how, because it's so obvious, people don't deal with it. We gave examples of tzaddikim who lived with Emunah B'chush. And these are things that should be on our minds, that we should be asking questions. And when we hear Dvar Torahs that talk about Hashem, we have to really think about it and internalize it into our lives. So we're two lines from the bottom of page Tes Vav. Nochain, it is true. Adam Adayin lo mevin mahi emuna brura. Person at this point of the game does not know what clear emuna is. And madu atzarech kol kach lashkia b'emuna, and why he has to invest so much effort into developing this emuna. Because at this point, a person who has not experienced emuna b'chush doesn't understand what the author is talking about over here. I don't know what this means to feel Hashem. However, Aval Yeshlo Emunas Chachamim Bigdoli Hadoros Shamru Dover Yisodi. However, we hope that people who are learning this have at least Emuna in the rabbis of the great leaders of the generations of the past, that you can put your trust in, who said what we've based everything on. What's the next page? Bo Chavakuk Vemir Malach, as the Gemara says, Chavakuk took all of Torah and all Yiddishkeit and based it on one premise of it, tzaddik b'emunah so yichya. Tzaddik lives with his emunah. So we at least know the rabbis, the Gemara, were honest people and were interested in our welfare, and they understood, you know, the messages of Hashem. So we trust them that it's important. And therefore, we'll have to work on it. And zohi avodaso v'chol yudah b'chaim. This is a person's work in life to Hashem and his mission, his lifelong mission. Vahapratim Rabbi Meiman. There's lots of details in Yiddishkeit. Aval Yisod Vashorish Al Hakol Zu Hemuna. But the foundation and the root of everything is Emuna. Now, what this really is telling us is that what is it at the end of the day that will prevent you from your biggest Yetzirahs? Right? Your biggest Yetzirah that will present itself to you at any time in your life. What's going to stop it at the end? So what Tzaddik is saying, it's not your intellectual awareness that there is a God. That's not going to do anything for you. It's going to be if you feel this Emunah, if you really feel that there is a Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and he's here, Ramesh here, and you have a relationship with him, and you're close with him, that's going to stop you. You know, you could have two people, they both believe in God. How come one of them talks in shul and one of them doesn't? What's the difference? They both believe in God. You go over to one guy, he's talking in shul, right? You say, why are you talking? He says, why not? He says, your Shulchan Aruch says you're not supposed to talk. So what? So you say, do you believe in God? Of course I believe in God. Well, no, don't you believe what the rabbis wrote in Shulchan? Listen, you know, don't bother me with these details. I have important things to talk about. It's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. But so what's the difference? The difference is one guy has Emunah B'chush and one doesn't have Emunah B'chush. Right? So, and when you have the real Emunah B'chush, then develops Yirat Shamayim, fear of heaven. If you really can taste and feel that there is a God, well then, you know what? You believe what he writes in the Torah. You believe what Chazal say. You believe when Chazal write that somebody talks in shul, it's a sin that's too great to bear. And you know what that means, then you keep your mouth shut. No matter how much you want to talk. And more than that, you don't even want to talk. You don't even want to talk. You realize that Hashem is here. What kind of chutzpah is this, right? And you know, it doesn't matter, you know, what kind of religious clothing you put on. Doesn't matter what kind of religious affiliation you have. None of that's going to save you from any averis in the world. Only your Emunah B'chush. And whenever we fail, it's only for one reason, because we slipped in our Emunah B'chush. You know, some may have never have had it. B'chush means that you sense it, you feel it. Chush, that's a term we've got to memorize, because this is a whole book. Chush means sensing, one of the senses. It's got to be something that you sense. Now, some people never had it. And unfortunately, a lot of adults just never, ever had it, because never taught it. Don't blame them. I can't blame them. They never had it. But even those who have it, as we said before, Rav Chaskel said, if I would take my mind off it for a little bit, I'll slip. And, you know, normally everything's fine, and, you know, stress and this and that, and you forget about your emunah, then that's the only reason you're going to make an aver.
That's something we're born with, or we have to acquire?
Okay, that's going to be the next chapter. Good question. It's the next chapter. Let's put it this, we'll just leave it for the next chapter. So that's critical, and that's why we've got to really work on the Semuna B'chush. That's what this book's going to be about. So he concludes this chapter by saying, Yasrein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shadvorim and Amorim Kan, Yizkab L'Leiv HaShom. Hashem should help us that these words that we're speaking now should be accepted upon the hearts of the listeners. K'divri MSM, because these are true words. V'Yizkoch Kolona Yachad L'Yizkar V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Emes U'B'Tami. We should all merit together to get closer to Hashem in truth and in wholesomeness. Okay. Parak Beis. We take the next step. Again, until we're going to get to real practical steps, it's going to be a while. Again, the author laboriously tries to prove how important this is. The next chapter is called V'yadata Hayom V'ashevos El Vavecha. You should know it today and bring it into your heart. And now he makes a distinction, continues with this distinctions between Yediyah Sichlis V'yediyah Muchoshis, intellectual awareness and awareness that you can feel. This should go quickly. Nisbar b'perek ha-kodem, we explained in the earlier chapter, she'odom tzorach l'das v'beirur, a person needs to clearly know, she'nekudas ha-chaim ha-merkazis b'yosu, she'kayem ha-seitzu kol odom b'chol ha-zmanim hi'nekudas ha-muna. That the central point of life that must be maintained for each person at all times is this point of amuna. Afilu im yeruhu be'emsa layla, v'adayin mitushtash. Even if we wake you up in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning, and you're confused, and you're not clearly thinking, and people ask you, what are you thinking about? So instead of saying, why the heck did you wake me up at 2 o'clock in the morning? The response should be immediate. Emuna. I'm thinking about how I believe in Hashem. That should be the answer. Because if remember from the first book, instead of yelling at the guy, why'd you wake me up in the morning? You know that it was because Hashem wanted that guy to wake you up in the morning. It's the first thing you're thinking of. Okay, why did Hashem want this guy to wake me up in the morning? So you're thinking about Hashem. And that should be the response. Kloimer, meaning to say, this is not an additional piece of information you have to keep remembering and arousing ourselves for that memory. It's a knowledge that must be in the inner workings of your heart. Okay. We began to attempt to explain the concept of emunah. Now we're going to expand on these words a little bit. The ways of discernment for a person are generally divided up into two parts. Yeshnan yedios. There is, first off, we'll call it yedios, which means information. Yeshna havchonas hametzius. Then there is the experiencing of something. Lamash, I'll give an example. Keshenosim le'iver lemashesh chayfetz biyado. If we give a blind person something to put in his hand to feel, who ain't a reis chavis, he can't see the object. Rak margish osayode hamishus, he can feel it through the sense of touch. Now, one thing's for sure, he cannot deny that he's feeling something. Once he's done feeling it and sensing it, he knows there is an object. Because if there was no object, there'd be nothing to feel. Okay? So what do we have over here? Nimtza comes out. That the beginning of his understanding this object is through the sense of touch. And the result of that sense of touch, you know there's an object. So here came the sense of the knowledge through the senses, which then brought on the intellectual knowledge. That's one way of understanding something. So it comes out, these are the two ways of understanding. Hasichlis, the intellectual, and the experiential, And more than that, the second one, kasher hasikli si toladish l'muchashis. And from the second one, through experiential understanding, we can now develop the intellectual understanding as a result of the experiential understanding. So either you can come to know something just intellectually, and it's abstract, or you can really experience it, and through the experience, you can come to understand it. Okay, those are the two general ways. Now let's reflect. This knowledge, we know that there is a creator. How does it start? First way or the second way? Does it begin from the sense of feeling, or does it begin from an intellectual awareness? Right, next page, Yudches. Well, obviously, he brings from the Zohar and from the Siddur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu leis machshava tvisa beklal. The Zohar says about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no understanding way to grasp Hashem at all. There's no way. We say in the davening, ein lo guf, ein lo demusa guf. In the Yigdal, he has no body, he has no figure or form. He's not given over to feeling and sensing and touching with your hand. So you have to say that our knowledge of Hashem does not begin with any of the senses. It's an intellectual awareness. Okay. That has to be the first way we come to understanding Hashem. So now how do you talk and know there is a God? Mirz Hashem, hopefully everyone in this room knows that there's a God. How do you know there's a God? So only two ways. But even Klali, in general, it's based on one of two fundamental ways. Reishis, the first one is, Aide Kabbalah Me'avosenu. It comes through a tradition from our parents, Dor Acha Dor, generation after generation, Ad Maimed Har Sinai, until the giving of the Torah at Sinai. Even before that, Avram Avinu V'Adam Rishon. Avram and Adam Rishon. Klomer meaning to say, Anachnu ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim, as the song goes, we are believers, the children of believers. K'moshe kosov Ramban, like the Ramban says, Shemoshe kibul Torah Sinai, that Moshe received the Torah at Sinai, u'mimeno hishtal shla misuras hayudis, and from that came the chain of transmission of Judaism. Right? You know that there's Hashem, hopefully, because your parents told you there's Hashem. And how do they know there's Hashem? Their parents told them. Goes all the way back to Sinai, where we experienced Hashem. This is the real thing. We all, mamish, experienced Hashem in that physical, experiential way. We gave it over to our children, the story of the Exodus, etc., etc. And the truth of the matter is, as the Ramban says in Parshas Bo, that every mitzvah we do is meant to remind us of this fact that there is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's why it's so important to do mitzvahs, because all the mitzvahs go back to Sinai. They all go back to going out of Egypt. And every time we do a mitzvah, we're making that declaration. Every time he says a lot, talks a lot about the mezuzah, the fact of what it says on the mezuzah, and we see the mezuzah every day, and this has been for generations, generations, and our parents tell us why we put up mezuzah. So we know there's a God, because your parents know it, and your parents wouldn't lie to you. And that's how we know it. That's one way. Hopefully, it's not limited to that. V'sheinis, in the second way, Afilo Adam Shenolad B'midbar, even if a person was born in the desert, V'yenu Deshu Yehidi, even if he didn't know he was Jewish, K'mo Kein Eni Yedesh Yesh Odin Hashem Olam, and even if he didn't know anybody else in the world, who's the only human being on the planet, Alav Lina K'mo Avram Avinu, he should conduct himself like Avram Avinu did. Avram Avinu lived in a world where nobody believed in God. But he came to Lagia La'akora Pshuta Shadover Lo Nasa V'yatzma. You have to come to a simple recognition that nothing comes into being by itself. U'behecha Sheish Barlelem, and there has to be a creator. Kisei Lo Notza Lavat, a chair isn't made by itself. Shulchan Lo Yotzer Satzwa, a table didn't make itself. U'murcha Sheish Mishabarim, there has to be somebody who created it. Right, the famous story with Rabbi Yehuda Levi, who was good friends with an atheist, and the atheist, Rabbi Yehuda Levi were in a room, and the atheist was working on a poem, and the atheist had to go out of the room, So while the Eisuk was out of the room, Rav Yehuda Levi was a great poet in his own right. He finished the poem on the spot. The atheist comes back 5 minutes later. He looks at the paper. He sees the poem is finished. He says, "Who did this?" The lady says, "Well, I'll tell you, I'm really sorry, but when you were out by mistake, I spilled over the inkwell. It fell on the paper, and it made all these words. Oh, oh my, how lucky we are. How it made these, I guess it made the words by itself." So the atheist said, "Are you crazy? That could never happen." He says, "Really? So you're telling me that that couldn't happen on one little piece of paper, but a whole world that's so infinitely more complex, that could happen by accident?" Right? So anybody looks at this world, you know, you got to be a moron not to understand it, that there's a God who created this world. You got to be a moron. You know, if you know anything about science, the possibility for this world to exist without all types of malfunctions, it's not possible. It's not possible. I refer you to all of Rabbi Avigdor Miller's books. I refer you to the Chovos Halevavos that give countless proofs, right? So Shnei Achreichim Elim Alidim Yediyah Sichlis Achas Pshuto. Even these two simple proofs should generate a very simple understanding. Yesh Bor Le'olam. There is a creator of the world. In other words, what he's saying on the second point is each and every one of us has an intuitive, intellectual ability to come to the same conclusion that Avram did. That the world did not create itself. Right? Avram, as smart as he was, didn't have to be so smart. It's just the question is, he wasn't so stupid. And what the real point is, and this is the famous piece from Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, because obviously the question is, you know, one of the commandments is to believe in Hashem. It's one of the mitzvahs. It's one of the mitzvahs to believe in Hashem. So Rabbi Chanan asks, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, who's Chavetz Chaim's premier student, he says, if anything that's a mitzvah means by the age of 13 you have to do it. So Rabbi Chanan asks, how could you require this as such a big, fundamentally deep concept that Aristotle was struggling with and couldn't even come to a total understanding of what God was? And you're trying to tell us that every one of us has to believe in Hashem. You have to believe in Hashem, like the Rambam writes in the 13 principles of faith, you have to believe in Hashem. So he says, how could it be? And more than that, really, a goy has to know this too. A goy has to believe in this too. So how could it be? So Rabbi Chanan's, it's a long piece, it's a beautiful piece, but Rabbi Chanan basically says, we know the Torah says a judge is not allowed to accept bribery. Right? If he's salif divrei tzadikim, and the bribery will blind a person to the truth. Right? You can't see the truth. And we know that to be true. Once somebody bribes you, you just can't think of things the same way in an open and honest way. So Bukhanan says, you know, to come to an understanding as Hashem means you have to make a judgment call. It's a judgment call. Now you have evidence in front of you and make a judgment call based on the evidence. Right? The evidence is so overwhelming that, of course, a person should believe in Hashem. So why would a person not want to believe in Hashem? Why wouldn't he come to that conclusion? The answer is, unless he's been bribed. Unless he's been bribed. If you're bribed, then you don't want to see the truth. Right? You go to a judge, give him $10 million, and say, try to find a way to get this guy off the hook. You'll be incredibly amazed by how he's able to find all kinds of extremely good proofs that the guy goes off the hook. You know, why? Because the $10 million said so. And that's a good reason to try to formulate a defense. It's a wonderful reason, you know. And it's for the same reason, you know, that the whole UN condemns Israel. Where anybody with half a brain would know it's not so. It's not accurate. But, you know, you want to kill the Jews, you can come up with a good reason. Right? So, listen, person's been living this world for so many years. You're bribed. You're bribed that you can act like a behemoth. You can do what you want, and it's fun, and it's good. And if I'm going to come to the understanding that there's a creator, that means my way of life has to change. No, that's not going to be. You've been bribed so much, we're drunk on the physical pleasures of life. We understand. You believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, you can't play around anymore the way you've been playing around. You can't live a certain way. Everyone knows that. is a boss. If there's a creator, he's a boss. He's going to tell you what to do. People don't want it. And therefore, the greatest scientists in the world are not able to prostrate themselves before the Almighty's thinking, and they don't want to do that. Plain and simple. It's not a question of being intelligent. It's only a question of being honest. And Hashem can command you to be honest. Hashem never asks anyone to do anything they're not capable of doing. And what Hashem is asking you to do, a five-year-old could do. A five-year-old can do it. But, so what's the command really saying? The command isn't saying you should believe in Hashem. The command is deeper saying is, don't bribe yourself into going against your simple understanding of what reality is. Right? And that also answers other questions. So how can it be a constant mitzvah? You know, or how can it be a mitzvah? Either you believe or you don't believe. How can you command belief? Either you believe or you don't. What if he doesn't? What can you ask from the guy? The answer is, there's no reason not to believe. It's obvious you have to believe. It's common sense you have to believe. The only question is, are you going to allow the bribery of life to not allow you to use your common sense? And that's what the mitzvah is. The mitzvah say, use your common sense. You know, it's incredible. It's incredible. Atheists are lunatics. Lunatics. Scientists are not scientists. They're not scientists. They're going against what science says. Science says you have to use observation. They got observation right in front of the face. And they're not coming to the conclusions any five-year-old could come to. Why? You know, I'm going to get into the history. Scientists were going against religion. Not against the Jewish religion, the Christian religion, you see. And the Christian religion has a good reason to go against the Christian religion. Christian religion was suppressing people from thinking. So scientists had a backlash, we gotta start thinking. And one thing's for sure, we don't like religion, so our thinking has already been based on anti-religion. That's what science is based on. The Christian religion was brutal. It was brutal. It wasn't fair. It was a terrible religion. So the scientists, was a criminalist backlash. Once people knew they could think, they said, the first thing we think is religion is terrible. Now, we'll start thinking from that point on. That's an unfortunate thing. That's an unfortunate thing, but that's the emes. That's the emes, right? And that's what Aldous Huxley, who wrote an essay, "Confessions of an Avowed Agnostic," and he writes that you know the only reason we guys didn't believe in God is because we didn't want to be moral people. We didn't want to be moral people. That's all. So he confessed. That they want to be freed from the obligations of morality. That's what we're seeking for. And that's the bottom line, what it's all about. So it's not a big thing. Hashem is asking us, just use your eyes and come to a simple understanding that there is a God. And when you do that, you know for sure that's the Be'er Ba'in Shalom. Yeah?
Rabbi, are we being bribed with spiritual pleasure then?
Are you being bribed with spiritual pleasure?
Spirituality is a higher form of pleasure than why is there a belief issue here? Aren't we choosing a greater pleasure?
Not when you're 8 years old, right? In the hierarchy of how this is going to develop, it can only develop this way. Your question would be a good question if we start with Emunah B'Chush and work backwards. If you really had the Emunah B'Chush, you're right. It's an unbelievable pleasure. Right? But we can't start that way. The Emunah B'Chush cannot start as a five-year-old. What has to start is first the Emunah that your parents tell you this Hashem. That's the first thing. That happens from birth till whatever age of adolescence, whatever you want to say. Then the next step is going to be the intellectual understanding by proving it. By proving it. And then you develop Emunah B'Chush. That's the way it has to develop. It has to develop that way in terms of how the mind works and how the heart works and things like that, right? And that's because once you know it, you see that's the way the Torah says, as he's going to get to v'yadata hayom, you will know it today, and then v'hashevo selvecha, then you bring it into your heart. So in other words, just be an honest person. And that really is something, you know, at every age, that's what Hashem can demand. Hashem can demand you to believe your parents. Hashem can demand you to look at the world and come to the logical conclusion as a God. But guess what? None of that will still stop you from doing averus. That still won't stop you from doing averus. Until you develop emunah b'chush. Right? But this is the order. This is the order. This is the order. Okay. So we have this idea. So that's what he's saying. Our first encounter of Hashem can only be sichlis. Can only be intellectual. It can't be more than that. And that's what he's saying. The two types. And you have to have both types. You have to have both types. From the Rambam and all the Mefarshim, it's clear. You have to have this belief that your parents told you is true. You have to have an intellectual understanding. And that develops as well. And you have it. And it's in your pocket. Good. Now there's no more issues on the information end. Now our lifelong struggle is to develop it on a feeling end. Yeah?
So you're saying the immutable order of this is you start with the tradition of your parents, and then the intellectual knowledge, and then you learn the push.
Correct.
But if you grew up without your parents passing you on that tradition, what is that?
If you grew up without having parents, good question. If you grew up without having parents give you that tradition, it's a big problem, right? So then what you have to do is you have to develop the intellectual understanding, from intellectually proving that there's a God. Now that's going to be very difficult because you've already been bribed.
Right.
So, achen vei. In other words, you're not going to come, you're going to be in big trouble. Then God has to start meddling to get you back on track. He has to do something. You need a taruta de la'ela now. You need an arousal from above for Hashem to get you thinking about things. Right? It's not going to happen unless God interferes. That's why chinuch is so important. Chinuch is such an important mitzvah, educating your children properly. You don't give them the right education, they're going to be cursed to a life of not really understanding there's a God in this world.
Is that itaruta de la'ela a substitute for the tradition?
Hashem will have to give you an itaruta de la'ela that will cause you to want to search honestly. Now, doesn't happen too often nowadays. Just look in Thornhill. Look at all the secular Jews who are not taught this stuff. And they're just so busy with everything else, they're not thinking about God. And even if they do, it's such a false way of thinking about God. It's a terrible thing. So there's a mitzvah. So Avraham Avinu lived in such a world. He came, you know, he at least was able, he was the one unique one that, even though he wasn't taught, he was a powerful thinker and was emistic no matter what. Okay, it's Baruch Hashem for Avraham Avinu. Without him, we'd be in trouble. But then what did he do to reach out to the rest of the world? He crafted scenarios that forced people to think. Right? People, he set up a hotel in the middle of the desert. People had to come to him. People needed food. He gave them the food for nothing. They appreciated it. They said, oh, he's a nice man. He's a good man. So they said, okay, good man, we'd like to thank you. And he said, why are you thanking me? And then he gets into a whole discussion of showing them how there's a God in this world. Right? Now that's what I call a nitaruta de la'ela. I don't know what is. They weren't planning on this. But Avraham Avinu said, listen, I'm partners with God, and I've got to create scenarios to have people get this nitaruta de la'ela. Right? And to tell them, I don't believe in this God. He says, okay, and then I'm charging you for the meal. And a meal in the desert is $50,000. No, if you don't believe that there's a God, then let's believe in the free market economy. You know, then you owe me. So, you know, you hear it enough, you begin to think about it. But if somebody would make you think, and you think, you know, once you start thinking, you know, you could be saved. But you need someone to interfere in somebody's life. And that's what Avraham did. He interfered. And that's what we have to do to be Makarov people. We have to interfere. They're not going to come walk into your door. They're not going to come walk into your door just because they're going to see we have a shul. It says Westmont Shul. That's not going to be enough. Maybe a few people. statistics right in front of their face. Maybe people will walk into the door, but you gotta interfere with them. You gotta have, you know, and you all can interfere. Everybody knows a secular Jew. You're afraid to talk to them. You're afraid they're gonna yell at us. And you come to them with love. You say, "I love you. You're a Jew. This and that." And they see you got to keep on at work, I hope. Right? And they see you got to keep on, and they see you do this. Don't worry. You do enough things, they're gonna start asking you questions. You got to be so outwardly Jewish. You know, and you just keep your keep on, have your tzitzis out. Sooner or later, someone's going to ask you some questions. It has to, I can't believe no one's going to ask you a question. I mean, Mayer gets it all the time. He's doing amazing kiruv at PwC. You know, he's got his keep, he's got his tzitzis, and they see he's a Jew. They're always asking him questions. Well, he's got 10, 12 people at his house. Friday night. What's he doing already? He's not doing anything. He's being obviously Jewish in front of them. So another Jew's gonna react in all different kinds. They're gonna react. You're gonna get a reaction. And if you just respond to the reaction, things are gonna happen. But you gotta make it happen. Then you gotta invite him. Right? So that's what you have to do.
So for those people, that's that first step. That's
otherwise, they're doomed. They're doomed. There's no way they can get out of it. There's no way they can get out of it. So a proper parent keeps telling them when the kids little tell them about Hashem and Hashem and Hashem and Hashem and Hashem, and that's the Seders and Hashem took them. So any kid who keeps saying Hashem did this, Hashem did this, Hashem did this, he knows it's Hashem. And then the kid gets a little older, you say, okay, you know, let's, you know, you start, you know, taking them out to the fields and explain to them photosynthesis and start explaining some other things, they get a little older and show them constantly, you know, this can't you see without Hashem, this couldn't be without Hashem, this couldn't be. And you teach him the anthropic principle and things like that. And the kid, you know, he's not going to be connected you. He's not going to be connected you. He's an open, honest person. And he'll get it. And then the real hard part is you got to really work on the Emunah V'chush, which of course you're going to fail because you don't have it yourself. That's as far as we can take it. And that's why the kids don't have Emunah V'chush, because the parents don't have Emunah V'chush. And just as the secular Jew is so cursed by not having an awareness that there is a God, so too is the Orthodox Jew cursed that he doesn't have an awareness of God that he can feel. And therefore the secular Jew, he marries out, while the religious Jew becomes less from, and his grandchildren will marry out. That's all. That's all. It's the same thing. You think we're better off, we're only two steps removed. That's all. You know, the difference is the secular person who sins because he doesn't know any better. We sin and we know better. The second Jew eating a ham sandwich, you know, like what do you want from the guy? He doesn't know any better. The frum guy who's looking on the internet and seeing things he shouldn't see, boy, is he going to get it. Because he knows there's a God. You understand? So then eventually you can do whatever you want. Talk and shul, do this and that. You know, you can be called an Orthodox Jew and you're sending your kids to schools. So you have no business sending them there for high school. Could you say you're Shomer Shabbos? You keep kosher. You send your kid to a school where most kids aren't Shomer Shabbos, don't keep kosher. How can you do that? You know that? Because you don't have Emunah B'chush. There's nothing the rabbi can do to make you feel that there's Hashem. Unless you go to classes. If you don't go to classes, he can't help you. If you don't have Emunah B'chush, so what's the difference? Everybody there is Jewish, and not everybody there is Jewish. Not everybody's Jewish, even in Jewish schools. You know, they think, well, nothing's going to happen because they got a good education house. What good education did you give them? You taught them there's Hashem. That's not a good enough education. What's going to keep a nice, frum boy from marrying a shiksa in the next few years? Nothing. Unless you have a Emunah B'chush. If you don't have a Emunah B'chush, forget it. So you know. You know there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Fine, you know there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But even if you know that, you can still be bribed with the physical pleasures of this world, even beyond. So I know, just like the secular person, you think they think they're Rishayim? They're not Rishayim. They think they're good people. Right? You ask a secular Jew, are you good? Of course I'm a good person. Who says you have to be a religious Jew to be a good person? I'm a good person. Who says you have to believe in God to be a good person? You see how good they are. So how about the Jew who believes in God but doesn't feel God? How good a person are they also? How good are they? Better than the secular Jew? Only because they're lucky. Only because they were trained. Only because they're in the habit. But are they really that much better? I mean, of course they're better. They're doing mitzvahs. But what keeps them back from doing averus? Nothing. In other words, so whatever you want to do that happens to be in God's line, how does it work with a frum Jew? We do what, why are we keeping Shabbos? Only for one reason, because it's, we're used to it. And it doesn't stare, because I was always trained to keep Shabbos, I keep Shabbos. Yeah, but what are you doing when you keep Shabbos? You're talking about business the whole day, you're talking in shul, you're not learning, how are you keeping Shabbos? What are you doing? You're sleeping. So then what do you got? And your kids are playing ball the whole afternoon, your teenage kids, I'm not talking about the little kids, so that's not Shabbos. So what happens? You understand. Then those kids, they're the ones who are getting divorced now, because everyone else is getting divorced. It's just a couple steps behind if you don't have the Emunah B'chush. So our grandparents, our great-grandparents in Europe, they had this Emunah B'chush. They weren't so brilliant. They had the Emunah Pshuta, they knew there's Hashem. They didn't even know the proofs. They didn't even know the proofs of the Cholos Avavos. They just knew there's Hashem, but they could feel it. So that's why it wasn't such a big problem. Even though before World War II in Warsaw, 50% of Jews were marrying out also. And that's why God sent the Holocaust. That's the way it works. When you lose the Emunah B'chush, the Holocaust follows. That's the rule. Nothing you can do about it. That's what it says next week. You're going to read in the Teichacha. Right? How can it be that a Jew doesn't keep Shemitah? This week's Parsha, next week's Klala. How can it be that Jew doesn't keep Shemitah? Don't you know there's a God? Yes. Don't you know he took us out of Egypt? Yes. Don't you know he controls the heaven and earth? Yes. So why are you working on a field? Don't you at least give you a triple crop? I don't know. What do you mean? He just told me he could create the world. What do you mean he can't give you a triple crop? Well, you know, that's real, man. Tomorrow's Parnassah is real. That's my problem. So how can you not keep it? They didn't keep it. How can you not keep Shemitah? You don't have a Emunah B'chush. And what happens? You don't keep Shemitah. It says in the parsha, you didn't keep Shemitah. I threw you out. You know, Korban Bayis is a Holocaust, as far as I'm concerned. That's a Holocaust of immense proportions. That's what Hashem is saying. If you don't have the Emunah B'chush, the Holocaust will follow. Plain and simple. So it's in our best interest to work on it, no? Okay, so let's continue. So we're on the second paragraph, where am I now? Yeah, second paragraph from the bottom. So we've got this understanding. Baruch Hashem, we got this understanding. From our parents, from looking at the world. But you do see he a dia sichlis. This is an intellectual knowledge. Climber. It's not similar to the case of the blind person who's feeling the object, and after feeling the object, he knows there's something in front of him. No. He klapi bar elam lo shach mishus, because regarding Hashem, it's not possible to physically feel him. El haskolas hadvermi yedia. Our first encounter with Hashem can only be intellectual, through either one of the two intellectual ways that we discussed. So now, that we've come to this understanding that by definition we've begun the approach to Hashem in a limited way. We have to think, is this knowledge enough? Is this way Hashem wants it to be for the rest of our lives? That our parents told us there's a God, I can prove to you there's a God, and that's it. I have a Emunah. Finish, it's in my pocket. This is where you begin, this is where you end your service as a Jew. I know there's a God, I finished, I passed religion 101, there's a God, onward. Now we begin with Torah Mitzvahs, now there's a God, I do Torah Mitzvahs. Gemilas Chasadim, acts of kindness, etc. Is that the way? Oh, or perhaps... Maybe this knowledge that there's a God is only the root. It's just the beginning. It's only the beginning of real knowledge. From now on, now we've got to move on and expand from the knowledge for it to spread to the feeling. Next page, Yates. But that's a question. How can we express a concept, a feeling, when we're talking about the Almighty? It would appear, at first blush, as heresy, to be able to say, I can feel a Kodesh Baruch Hu, because it says, Kilo Yireni Adam L'Chayes, Hashem says, nobody can see me and live. If we don't see or hear God, even the prophets didn't feel God. So what are we doing? How can we expect this? We're not talking about the sense of feeling of touch. As it's written in the holy writings. Ella, here's the important line. Underline this. Ella mishush al yidei chushe halev. But to feel Hashem with the sense of the heart. The feeling of the heart. Bimilim elu hamadnu es yisoid hamaos hamitis shel hamuna. With these words, we have now established the foundation of the essence of true emuna. Emuna balev. Believing in the heart. And that's what he's going to now get into this discussion. Navarasi yisod, I'm going to explain the principle. Valgab of nivnes hamshech. And upon that, everything else will flow. Avoresh is called yisod atzot serchlis bar. But in the beginning, the foundation has to be clear. What kind of emuna are we talking about over here? This, what do we mean? What is emuna b'chush? B'chush feeling? It's the chush halev, the feeling of the heart. He continues. Es hayidia hasichle sheish emuna kol yidi yodea. The intellectual knowledge of this God, everybody knows. Every Jew knows, hopefully. But the question is, kama hu choshev alkach? How much does he think about it? How much do you think about it? How much time do you spend thinking on the fact that you know that there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Now, if you ask somebody, you know, do you think about this often? You know the guy's going to answer you? What's there to talk about? What's there to talk about? It's a very small masechta. There is a God. My parents told me. I did the proofs from Chovas Avavos. I read Rav Miller's books. It's finished. I know there's a God. Gemarnu. We graduated. What else do you want me to talk about? Right? It's a limited topic. We've done everything. Well, then you're mistaken. So, kan kvar yesh l'chiluk ben anoshim. That's where you're going to see big differences between people. Here's the problem. Adam betivo, a person by nature, einu maktish man l'machshava, person doesn't set aside time for thinking, afilo osi adiv shutishesh berolim, even on this simple thought that there is a creator. And in brackets, and all the more so, on hashkacha pratis. So you're wondering why I insist that at Shalshus we talk about Hashkacha Pratis stories. Why am I insisting on that? We could be learning. You know, other places in the world, they don't waste their time with an hour of Shalshus. Why do you want to waste your time? We could be learning another page of Gemara. The answer is, you know, a whole week long you can learn Gemara, but not at Shalshus. Shalshus is time for Muna B'chush. At least, as a Kehillah, we spend 1 hour trying to get a Muna B'chush. So how are you gonna, there's a lot of ways you can get a Muna B'chush. But you're gonna hear inspiring stories. At least you're gonna know, you know, there is a Rabbeinu Shlom out there. At least once a week, we're gonna hear something about Hashem. Otherwise, we're not even thinking about Hashem the whole week. Right? So that's the time. People say, no, I gotta learn more Gemara. You're gonna learn Gemara all day long, my friend, and your kids are still gonna marry out. Or your grandchildren will. Because you still don't feel that the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Gemara is becoming less and less attractive in the world. There's much more attractive things than Gemara. Right? All kinds of things. I don't know if they YouTube Gemara learning yet, do they? Episode YouTube of this year, you know, put it on YouTube. I don't think it's like one of the top 10 things they show with people blogging on it. Right? It's just not there. It ain't happening. Right? So, if you don't got that emuna b'chush, forget it. So you gotta talk about it. Now why don't people talk about it? Huchoshev, the guy thinks, you're there, I know it already. But what do you know? You only know it up here. You don't know it here. Once you assume you know it, that's the problem. We could fool ourselves and think we know it. Well, you know only the limited intellectual emuna, but you haven't even begun to scratch the surface of the emuna in the heart. And it doesn't happen by itself. It'll never happen by itself. No matter how many pages of Gemara you learn, it'll never happen. No matter how many times you make Shabbos for other people, and you invite it, it'll never happen. It'll never happen. Right? So that becomes the issue we have to deal with. Tomorrow he's going to show you very interestingly the concept and what we mean by the emunah in the heart. That we can begin, once we understand what we're trying to achieve, then the rest of the book will tell us what are the things to do to get the emunah into the heart. Okay, shkayach, everybody.